We trying to behave ourselves on the story? Well, y'all know what we thinking right now.
I'm ready for the night. I got a little extra energy. I don't know what might come out of my mouth tonight.
As your kids, tell them go sit their bad asses down so we're grown folks in here talking.
TGIF.
Everybody, welcome to TGIF. I'm your girl, Claudia Jordan, and this is the Friday's edition of our show. I'm back with two of the most fabulous men in the business, and we're here to break down all the hot topics and all the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. So go ahead and get you a drink. Get you something to sip on, because we're going to be sipping on some tea. All right, now, please welcome multimedia personality and talk show host, who Al and I do suspect he may be
A gentleman
of the night. All these goddamn male callers every Tuesday and Thursday.
Oh,
funky lady of the night, Dineva. What's going on?
Yes, lady. I was a harlot in a past life. Okay, but I'm going to stop telling y'all my business, because y'all not going to keep using my business against me and embarrassing me in front of capacity.
Al, we're embarrassing him, though.
We're embarrassing him.
Okay. All right. Please welcome Al Reynolds, who is fresh, brand strategist Al Reynolds, who stays on the road. You have another blurred background, so that's another hotel room, huh?
Yeah. Wait, but you can't talk about nobody in a hotel room. Hey, Q, don't you start. Q, don't you start.
I'm the gentleman of the night.
You are, boy.
Since the inception of this show, my background has always been the same.
And that's called a house call, boy.
Hey, y'all are sitting out of
that's well, called an in call.
No, but he has that virtual one, so he can really be at some guy, some married guy's right. house doing exactly. a show, and we wouldn't even know.
Wait a minute. And he had another caller last night.
What's going on with you, Q? Is there a void you're trying to fill that gets filled every Tuesday and Thursday night?
Maybe. You might be on to something. Listen. I'm single. I'm cute. I got a little bit of change. My credit good. I'm young. I ain't got no kids. I got a nice place on the water. Why can't I enjoy a few gentlemen callers?
What's a few?
Well, few is like five or six. You're a little bit higher than a few.
Put it this way. I'm dating.
Okay. That's fair.
They say you gotta kiss a lot of toads in order to find your prince. So I'm just out here kissing toads.
Are you gonna find a prince by a dumpster behind the bar with a because we see your good job. What y'all drinking on? What we all in your business? What you drinking on?
Y'all, you know what? By the time we are all said and done, we are going to have the most sickening sponsorship dollars from Publix supermarket, because once again, I am drinking Publix sweet tea, this time mixed with Publix lemonade.
All right, Publix. Okay.
That's an Arnold Palmer, right? That's an Arnold Palmer.
In Miami, we call it a flop.
Okay.
You need to tag them on these posts, like on this show.
I should.
Well, that's a good idea.
Al, what you drinking on? You still on them hottie toddies?
No, I'm having water tonight.
You okay, Al?
Yeah, I already shared with you guys. I did my screening today. So I did my colon cancer, colonoscopy, prostate cancer, all of that because of what's going on with my brother. So I figure I better hydrate.
So that booty just got mangled.
I knew you were going to say
that makes two of you. All right, moving on. Hot topics here.
I can't stand y'all. I swear to God.
All right, y'all. Oh. That kind of show. All right. According to Travis Scott is working on a new safety protocol alongside national leaders, which aims to improve safety measures at public gatherings. Sources close to the situation told TMZ that Travis has spent the last few weeks meeting with leaders from the United States Conference of Mayors to get the plan in motion. Now, the USCM, which lobbies for the interests of more than 1,400 cities, is reportedly helping Travis form a committee to create a safety report for future shows to follow. So he seems like he's trying to put in some work. Do y'all think this is Kris Jenner working behind the scenes to kind of help with this Olivia Pope moment?
It's definitely an Olivia Pope fix job or whatever, but I mean, this is what you're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? Y'all would have been mad as hell with him. If y'all was to see Travis Scott go Christmas shopping right now for stocking stuffers, the media would have a field day with him. This is what you're supposed to do. So, you know, for me, there really is no story here. You know, this is what he's supposed to do. This is how you redeem yourself. And this is what will help him blow over. Hopefully now he don't do like DaBaby and in 3 months, 4 months, abandon these folks and abandon their committee. Travis, go to the meetings, get on the Zoom calls and give the people their money if you said you're going to donate.
Yeah, I agree. Al, what do you think about this move?
Yeah, you know, this is what we talked about, guys. And, you know, I've been hard on Travis and I've been hard on him for a reason. This is what I'm talking about. Now I can get behind Travis. I'm not saying it's time for him to be back on stage, but it's this type of repair in his branding that he needs. It's what, 1,900 different mayors, tourism directors are on this board. They're going to come up with a protocol of how to handle concerts and large crowds in the cities all around the country. It just makes sense. And this is the type of press that he needs to be leaning into instead of, you know, trying to be on the stage at Coachella. But you know what, guys, do y'all remember, I was just thinking about this. Claudia, I know you do. I don't know about Funky, but do y'all remember when Puff Daddy had those nine individuals that died at that stampede that died when he did it at the City College in Harlem? Mm-hmm. I'm not in Harlem, but I'm in New York City tonight. And it just brought that up because nine people died at that. Remember, I think it was Boyz II Men. Who else was it? Heavy D, because you remember Heavy D was hyped in Big Daddy Kane and Puff Daddy, and they were expecting 2,700 people, but 5,000 people showed up and nine people died. So this could also be an opportunity for Puffy and Travis to lean in and inviting him to be a part of that board.
I agree. You know, like you said, Q, damned if you do, damned if you don't. He does it. Oh, you just trying to pull a fast one and do media, you know, address the media and fix your image. If he doesn't do anything, he's a villain. I don't know what people want from him. Like what's been done is done. So what do you do now moving forward other than try to stop it from happening again? Yeah. And again, yeah, Al, to your point, no one even talks about Diddy's situation.
Right.
You know, he was.
I think Diddy probably said, I don't live through that. Let me stay.
All right. Well, that was 30 years ago. Right. I think the best part about this for Travis is him taking responsibility and flipping the story so that he can make a difference and an impact in a situation that led to the lives of 10 people. I feel much better now. And maybe, you know, this will help him.
All right. Well, speaking about this family, the streets are saying that Kanye is not ready to cut ties from Kim Kardashian. But Kim's recent court filings show that she's serious about ending their relationship, their marriage, and she's not likely to look back. Someone close to Kim Ye told an outlet that Ye is willing to fight for his marriage. They say he won't allow anything to stand between him and his family, including court documents. Should Kanye let it go? Or is this what you're supposed to do when you're in love with your wife?
You know, I definitely will say, ladies out there, what Kanye is demonstrating right now is what it looks like when a man wants you, okay? When a man wants you, he gonna let you know he wants you. Unfortunately, Kim has moved on because we also know once a woman gets to a point where she don't step out with another man and is being seen with them publicly, her stuff probably look about as mangled as Al's is because they say Pete just, you know, they say Pete got it going on.
You better leave.
So at this point, you know, Kanye, that thing belonged to somebody else.
Buddy, don't do it.
I'm saying he's one to talk. We've been talking.
I know, right? You know he's wearing an adult diaper.
Whoa.
No, we're not going to have that type of show. But you know what I think is interesting? I got to be honest with you. I'm about to be messy. But why would anyone want to follow behind Pete Davidson anyway? He looked like a zombie to me. He looked like he's on meth or something. I don't know that I would want Kim back after she's, you know, been canoodling with him. But it's quite clear. Kim is serious about this. Kim wants her name back. And she wants his name gone. And she wants to be single. And she's becoming a lawyer. She passed that test. I'm sensing that Kim has had enough. And I think Kanye probably needs to move on.
I hate to be superficial, but I got to revisit. I got to join you on this, Pete Davidson. It's very much giving anemia. It's very much giving sickle cell. It's giving low blood sugar. It's giving low, you know, white blood cell count. It's giving sickly. It's giving no sleep, smudge mascara. But you know what? With all that being said, he makes her laugh and he got a big old thing. So, you know, that's all. I mean, she good. She going to take that anemic looking zombie.
Yeah, honey.
With that blonde hair and the dark roots. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I hope she keeps some penicillin nearby.
The best part is that she's like, I don't want this West name anymore. That's huge. When a woman says that, it's over.
Well, yeah, she stepped out of public with a new man. She's done.
Yeah. And to her defense, she tried. She didn't give up easily. She was with a lot of the nonsense. All right. Speaking of trying, we got to get into this Holly Madison story. Mm. She's now opening up about her love life and her time at the Playboy Mansion and talking about the first time she had sex with Hefner, something she now labels as traumatic. On the Power Hugh Hefner podcast, Madison said that she was wasted that night and that he was literally pushed on top of me. And after it happened, I was just mortified and embarrassed. And it had way more of an emotional impact on me than I thought it could. What are your thoughts on her comments? And it wasn't a one-time thing. You did this for years. You were with them.
Right.
I used to see them around LA all the time. And not only were you screwing him, it was with other women too. And y'all was getting $2,000 a month. Okay.
I'm not here for any of this.
Yeah.
I'm not here for any of it. I don't like it. The man is dead. Anybody who entered his harem of women, you knew what time it is. Mm. I'm gay. And I know if I got an invitation around there from him, okay, he wanted to carry me upstairs and leave me looking like Al after his colonoscopy and his cancer screening. Okay, no, like Holly, no. And everything you're doing right now is just, in my opinion, is dead ass damn wrong. You reaped the benefits of it. You liked it, the fame, the money, the attention, the TV shows, the notoriety, being his main girl. You liked it for years and years and years and years. Now that the man is dead, he dumped your ass, the money train ain't no longer coming through. Now you want to come and do this whole press circuit of traumatization and all this type of stuff. I'm not here for it. Let sleeping dogs lie. You had a good run. Leave that man be.
What do you think about this?
I mean, I agree with Funky on this one. You know, the sad part about this is I listened to that interview and she almost insinuated that she was sexually abused, like almost as if she was raped. And I didn't like that at all because like Funky said, look, Stevie Wonder could see that Hugh Hefner was what he was about. He was a pimp. He was a playboy. You knew when you went to that mansion what it was going to be. She knew. She even said that, you know, she knew what was going to have to go down, but she didn't know it was going to happen that night. I just thought it was in poor taste for her to now, you know, make it seem like she was taken advantage of. I don't support it.
It's frustrating to hear these stories as a woman. It absolutely is.
Right.
I have had conversations with my friends about my experience, their experiences and things that we've all been through in life where there was a real actual assault that happened. And then these people, I feel like everyone wants to be a victim now because there's money in that. And there's a
money in it.
That, and there's a platform with that. You can't, you know, it's like, oh, you were hurt. You were traumatized. Everybody want to be oppressed and they want to be abused now.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I saw them around LA. We all saw them around LA. We saw them in the press all the time. And they
definitely
were kind of flaunting this polygamous relationship in our face. Like they were with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it may very well have been gross having sex with them. But again, like you said, you wait till he's dead to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like every time these stories come out, you take away from the real victims of sexual assault and rape. And it does sound gross. It does sound like a horrific experience, but you did it for years.
Yeah. I mean, and it is gross. Listen, I mean, and this may sound ignorant and I may catch backlash for it, whatever. I just think it's almost unnatural for anybody 21 years old to want to lay up with some decrepit crypt keeper penis, okay, with that wrinkly, oh, don't nobody want that old crispy piece of bacon laying on top of them. huffing and a puffing and breath smelling like Geritol and Metamucil. Don't nobody want that. You was in it for the money. You liked it. And you knew what time. Yes, it was repulsive. You know what I'm saying? But you knew that there was a payday on the other end of it. So you dealt with it.
And they really weren't making much money. I heard that the other two girls, it was like their money was like $2,000 a month. I think she got a little bit more because she was like the top B, whatever you want to call it. But ugh.
And it just goes to show you, fame is one hell of a doggone drug. Like, people forget the fame. Give me the check. But just to say that they were affiliated with Playboy and they were his main girl, you could have made more money being an assistant manager at McDonald's.
We got to go to commercial, y'all.
Yeah, let's take a quick break before we end up working at McDonald's. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to TGIF. I'm joined by Al Reynolds and Funky Dineva. Now, listen, fellas, Boosie, our favorite rapper, is wanting to know if Saweetie's butt is real. After watching Saweetie's viral twerk video, he tweeted, "Is Saweetie's ass real? Because that motherfucker be moving like ain't no BBL been done back there. I got to keep it 100. That shit be going crazy back there. And Young Miami, y'all killing the twerking game." It's good to hear rappers use their platforms for important issues in society. What are your thoughts on Boosie's tweet?
I'm gonna let Q have this one because
I don't even like that.
I'm gonna let Q have this one because he was being facetious, right? Like, he was joking, right?
I think he was being for real. I just like him.
Okay.
Everything that come out his mouth just annoys my spirit. But I love Saweetie. So you know what? I'll talk about Saweetie. Saweetie is giving the girls what they want with the twerk game. And he lied about Young Miami. I'm from Miami and the city girls cannot dance to save their damn life. Saweetie got it going on. I don't think Saweetie got no BBL. And I think that's actually part of what makes Saweetie so likable, that she is not a cookie cutter cutout of the other girl. She didn't go to the Dr. Miami and get the body and get the face and yada, yada, yada. She's just a Bay Area chick having fun. And that's why I love her.
I like her too. I like her a lot. I think she's doing a big thing in Miami for New Year's Eve.
Oh, they're cute.
Nice.
All right, y'all, moving on. The Biden administration announced that student loan repayments will resume at the top of 2022. Now, for almost 2 years, millions of Americans were given reprieve from their student loan payments because of the economy and the pandemic. So according to Forbes, President Biden has helped to cancel $12.5 billion in student loan debt for about 640,000 borrowers since he became president. Much of that student loan forgiveness went to students that are disabled or to colleges whose campuses closed due to unforeseeable circumstances like the pandemic. Do you think there will ever be a day that all student loan debt will be canceled for good? And do you think it should or not?
You know, Biden is coming up under a lot of scrutiny about this student loan stuff because people really are feeling bamboozled, baited, and switched. Okay, when you ran publicly and you wanted our vote, you didn't just want disabled people's votes, okay? You did not announce out loud the nuance of what the forgiveness program would be. You had everyday working class regular people thinking that they would get some type of student loan forgiveness. And don't get me wrong, I definitely think aid and assistance should be given to disabled people, but disabled people are not the only people who make up this economy and who are struggling. Everyday working class people who are able-bodied are struggling. And I think that only giving it to disabled people was enough to say, I fulfilled my campaign promise, when in all actuality, you didn't. Them bastards sent me that email in November talking about my payments was going to resume in January. And I politely emailed they ass back and said, well, go ahead and send me the forbearance papers because I have not paid. I have not made a student loan payment since 2007, and I have no intentions on making one January 1st of 2022. You better go get it from Afghanistan. $8 trillion sound familiar to the government? You better go get it from Afghanistan because I ain't got it.
You You got money.
You got money, boy. Let me tell
you. They better come repossess this.
You know what? You do need money back for your degree in economics.
They better come repossess this degree. They can have it.
They can have that degree back.
They can have this damn degree. I always tell people, whoever thought a $16 Party City wig would have been worth more than my college education? They can have this damn degree.
What do you think about this?
We got to be fair, though. We got to be fair with Biden. Like Claudia said, it wasn't just disabled people. It was $12.5 billion. But this is what I want everybody to know. Like, seriously. If you pay close attention to what he's saying, he is willing to do student loan forgiveness legislation up to $10,000 for any and everybody that has college debt. Now, the reason why this is important is because if this is received by Congressman and the bill is put on his desk, he said that he will sign it. So all soulmates, let me tell you what you need to do. If you're in this situation where you've gone to college and you have debt, get a pen and piece of paper. You call 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. And get your congressman or congresswoman to vote to pass this bill. And he promised that if they pass the bill, he will sign the legislation and everyone will immediately get $10,000.
And I'm thinking everyone thinks that he can just strike the pen, whip the pen out and just say, oh, no debt for everybody.
No, he's got definitely Congress. That's right. Congress has to pass it.
Here's one thing I want to add to that. Don't get me wrong. And I don't want to look a gift horse in its mouth. And I don't want to sound ungrateful. $10,000 is not enough. It's mm-hmm. not enough. I owe 60. 50 and 60 is the same damn number. It's the
well,
same
this is just the first number. Wave, though. This is the first wave, though, Funky. I think it's the first step. It's the first.
We'll get a second wave.
Well, I think you might. I mean, we don't know. We didn't know we were going to get the third. This is actually a third wave. So listen, we can try. If he said that he will sign it, if we do it, then let's get the money. I'm not going to turn $10,000 away because mine is more than yours.
Here is my thing, since you have a better understanding of how the government stuff works. Why was it then so easy for him to get it passed for the disabled people and not just for the general? Why, whatever statute or rules or process that he went through to get it passed for disabled, why wasn't that just offered to everyone?
I'll tell you why, because right now he has two Democratic senators that are behaving as Republican operatives. They are making a point to not advance his agenda.
To advance any of his agenda.
To look like a failed presidency. And they are blue senators in red states, so they have to kind of move like Republicans in layman's terms, right? They're like, we can't show that we're reckless with, like, they can give a little bit to disabled, but they have a real issue with giving money away to able-bodied people, whether you're struggling or not. They're not here for it. Except under President Trump, they were okay with $2 trillion of tax relief to the top 2-4% of the country. But they didn't have a problem back then. They all went with it because Miss Sinema in Arizona, she is a direct beneficiary, I think, of the pharmaceutical industry.
They're
doing stuff that benefits themselves. Manchin is down there in West Virginia, and he is doing what Republicans want him to do, pretending to be a Democrat, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, thank goodness for Schumer and Warren. Thanks goodness for Schumer and Warren. That's why you got this initial $12.5 billion, and we're hoping to push this $10,000, which is going to be another billion, because there's so many of us out here with student debt.
And I want to break this down real quick before the next topic. I think that Biden thought, when I had the majority, that my Democratic Senate was going to rock with my agenda. And when they got in, they pulled a switch and bait on him. So he can't fulfill a lot of his promises that he did think in good faith that Manchin is his boy. You know what I mean? So it's not all on him. I think he gets a bad rap on some of the stuff. I really do.
All right.
All right, but good conversation. We're going to talk more. We'll definitely keep talking about this. All right, moving on real quick. According to reports, Wendy Williams' son, Kevin Jr., gave his mom some tough love. Apparently, a source close to the family claimed Wendy's relationship with Kevin Jr. has been strained, and he gave her an ultimatum. He told her he won't be in her life unless she fixes herself. The source also said the relationship has been really rocky for years, and he's been giving her tough love. Wendy, what are your thoughts on Wendy's son saying this and putting this out there that, you know, basically get it together. I'm not going to be here for you.
Well, listen, you know, catch these T's. What's for her to get together? I thought she was out because she had early onset dementia and lymphedema. You see what I'm saying? That's why I all in COVID. She, you know what I'm saying? Like, at first it was COVID, then it was her lymphedema acted up, then it was early onset dementia, then she's in the Graves' disease acting up. Your son doesn't give you an ultimatum for Graves' disease. You have no control over that. Your son doesn't give you an ultimatum over lymphedema. You know, I always thought from the beginning, and I don't want it to be true, but that Wendy had relapsed. And I'm sorry, I read the article, and you know, alcohol is a pretty way to wrap it up. Cause alcohol abuse, everybody got alcohol abuse or whatever. But I honestly feel as if Wendy was coming unraveled as a result of that stuff with Kevin and Sharina, and she went back to her old ways. And I think that is what I have watched enough intervention on A&E to know what it is when your loved ones give you their ultimatum. And that's because Wendy has fallen on damn lymphedema.
Makes sense. Al, what do you think about this?
You know, this woman has talked about me for 20 years. She has held her foot on my neck for years. But I have to tell you, I guess I just have a soft spot in my heart because she never had one for me. This is heartbreaking. You know, this is just heartbreaking to me. And it's very telling because little Kevin took the side of his mother when the divorce happened with Big Kevin. Remember, they got into that altercation because little Kevin said, you're mistreating my mother. So we know it has nothing to do with that. This is just, to me, it's a telltale that we don't need to know what she's going through, because obviously we know what she's going through. And it's just sad. This is just so sad to me that your only son, the only person that you got left in your family, your mother's gone, right? You know, your husband's gone with another woman. The only person that you have left is now saying, Mom, either you get it together or I'm leaving too, which leaves her all by herself. Now, the compassionate side of me does say Wendy has gone through divorce. She's gone through the death of her mother. She's battling whatever disease she claims she has. She needs to take this time off, and she needs to recalibrate so that, you know, she can come back, and she needs to make sure that she keeps her son in her life. So she got to fix this.
What a devastating couple of years for Wendy, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that would break the average person. I mean, and didn't have to have lived this out loud in front of everybody to comment on and laugh at and be like, well, that's what you get for you talking about people. But that's her job. She lost her husband. She's losing her show as we speak. All her friends are gunning to take her place and publicly tweeting about, pick me to be on your show. And like, everyone wants her job, and then some of them are doing good jobs at it.
Listen, y'all, I'm not doing the poor Wendy thing with y'all. Wendy ain't went through nothing that ain't no other grown person
has gone through.
Marriage is in. I'm an orphan. I lost both of my parents by the time I was 36 years old. Okay. And I'm surviving, and I ain't got no man, and ain't had one since I was 23.
Okay? You got plenty of gentlemen, you know, callers. Cut it out. Like, you get no sympathy, you know, either. You know,
people get heartbroken and cheated on every day of the week. Parents die every day of the week. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of us handle it otherwise. But regardless of those situations, Wendy has a problem that exists independent of her divorce and her mama dying. And it's just unfortunate that she's tarnished her entire legacy overnight with this BS.
People do go through those things every day, but we're not even close to how the level of fame, the level of trolls that come for her neck every day. And I think she reads it. And I don't know, I still feel bad for her.
Wendy has been in this business long enough to know how to cope.
You can't tell someone how to cope, though.
You've been in the business long enough to know how to cope.
I'm going to tell the two of you again. We got to go to commercial, y'all.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and with Al and Heartless Ass Kim. We'll be back. Welcome back to TGIF. Shout out to the soulmates in the chat hanging with us. There were some technical issues, but we are back. So please go ahead and flood the comment section of our YouTube page. And get us caught up and let's see what you got to say. Cause that's a whole show in itself. The soulmates in the comments on YouTube, we see y'all. All right, y'all. Did you know that even an okay credit score can cost you $100,000 over the life of a 30-year home loan? Well, that's why you should use ScoreMaster before you apply for any loan. ScoreMaster can take a credit score from okay to great fast. The average user adds 61 points in 20 days or less. Now, recent COVID surges will probably keep interest rates low for now. And adding 61 points to your score could really save you thousands on a home loan, but those rates are going to go up soon. So before you apply, visit scoremaster.com where you may add points to your credit score super fast. And then you can maintain and protect your credit score with 24/7 credit monitoring and $1 million fraud insurance. It only takes minutes to enroll, see your points, get on track, and get more points and qualify for the lowest home rates. Visit scoremaster.com/T. That's scoremaster.com/T and get started today. We'll be right back with more show right after this. Welcome back to TGIF. Give us some flames up in the comment section on YouTube. So we know you there, you in the house, and you still rocking with us. I see Amanda Thomas says funky bunch. And Villary Burton says couldn't see SHIT on YouTube until now. Okay, cool. We back. Thank you so much. All right, y'all. Welcome back to the show. A Louisiana judge is facing calls to resign after being caught using the infamous word that they all want to use secretly. But then when they get caught saying it, they say, I was on drugs. I was hurt. I was bothered. I was drunk. I didn't mean it. I'm so sorry. Yes, to use the N-word. Now, while watching security footage of a black male attempting to break into a judge Michelle Audnett's house, Audnett, alongside other family members, can be clearly heard using the word. Take a look.
They're like, pull up.
And mom's yelling.
Okay, we couldn't really hear much of that, but all right. Anyway, she blames her foul language on sedatives, which she claimed to have started taking following the burglary attempt. The judge stated, anyone who knows me and my husband knows this is contrary to the way we live our lives. I'm deeply sorry and ask for your forgiveness and understanding as my family and I deal with the emotional aftermath of this armed burglary. It wasn't my fault. I took drugs. What are your thoughts on the story? And do you think the sedatives made her say racist things?
I have one trigger in life that therapy has been unable to help me overcome, and that is playing on my intelligence. If you want to see me lose all composure and get physical with somebody and knock the S-H-I-T out of them, tell me the sky is red when I'm obviously looking at it and it's blue. This story has more holes in it than Jussie Smiley setting them boys up to mangle his booty outside that subway. Okay, first and foremost, you're on sedatives, right? Okay, fine, let's run with the you're on sedatives and this is not how you and your husband live your lives. But then you have to explain why your sons so casually used the language and there was no response, there was no pause, there was no correction, there was no upset, there was no anything from anyone, if this is not language that you guys commonly use in your home. And then to just, I was sedated. Was you sedated with damn horse tranquilizer? I mean, listen, we all take a little Ambien, a little piece of Xanax from here and there. It has never, ever made me racist. It's made me horny. It's made me talkative. It's made me invite two or three gentlemen callers over, but it has never made me racist. And the carcassity of it all, the thing I love the most is mama told us, she said, I will take unpaid leave, but I am not resigning. I'm here for it. I love it. I want to be white so bad. So I could just walk through life and just tell people what the hell I am and ain't going to do. She said she's taking unpaid leave, but she is not resigning.
there is a lot to say about that white part. Like, you don't ask for permission. You just say, what I'm going to need you to do is, and what's going to happen is, and that's what you do. And
I love it.
I do that sometimes. Al, well, what do you think?
I don't love it. I think this is just what Trump did, and no one said no to him. It's really sad. Let me tell you what's so troubling about this particular story. She's an officer of the court. Okay, in a town where 32% of the population are African Americans, and 80% of the criminal cases that went through her court were African Americans. Right? She 80% of the cases that she tried were African Americans because she does criminal law, right? Now, she is supposed to exercise 100% racial parity without judgment. And we can clearly see that she does not do that, right? From this incident. But let me tell you what really pissed me off. What really pissed me off is, I don't know if y'all remember this, but in Louisiana in 2019, there was an African-American female judge that worked in her, not in her district, but near her district, this judge's district, that they made her resign because she made a comment about Louisiana having the highest number of incarcerated African-Americans. For that statement, they made her resign, and they recused her from 300 of her criminal cases. Where are all the prosecutors? Where are all the attorney generals that had the same attitude for that African-American judge to get her job taken from her? Now that we know that this Louisiana judge not only is exercising racial, racism, but she's not being a good officer of the court. I need the same energy here.
And to piggyback on top of that, you're a judge. Okay, let's call a spade, okay? It was a Black man that she saw. Okay. And you do use the word, and you're a judge, so you're supposed to be about the truth. You lie. You're just a liar.
Right.
You,
That's right.
On top of everything else, like racist, non-racist, you're a liar, and you have one job, is to seek the truth into sentence. Seeking the truth. Like, you're about right. Truth. So you're sitting here lying to our face about this drug. A sedative makes me happy and lazy and peaceful. I just want to like lean on someone and fall asleep or whatever. It don't make me crunk like she was in that video. And if you were really out of character, your little raggedy ass kids would have been like, Mom, you're like, you don't ever, I don't hear you talking like this ever. It rocked right, with right. It. Nobody batted a goddamn eye. Miss me with the bullshit, right. White lady. And I'm tired of this. And like you said, and to your point, Al, I'm so tired of these double standards in the South. I can't believe I'm living in the South with this nonsense where one person does crime A and they get this, and a Black person does it and they get 5 years for something that should be a misdemeanor. It's so obnoxious, and it's a slap in the face. If we didn't know before, America is full of crap when it comes to Black people, and they can't be making it any clearer than they are now that they don't F with us. They just don't.
You want to know what's baffling to me too? I'm so fascinated by the psychology of racist white people. I really am, because they enjoy the privilege and the power. But one thing that is like kryptonite to them is being labeled racist. Like, they will go above and beyond. That is the absolute worst thing you can call a racist white person, is racist. This woman is trying to go on a whole camp. I'm telling you, this woman has probably been shunned in her community. She's been kicked off the PTA and all these things, despite the fact that everybody in the damn PTA probably don't sat around and use the same doggone language with her. They don't want the title, but they want the privilege and the power that comes along with it.
And stop blaming drugs for these incidents and these outbursts that don't do that. We know drugs. We know sedatives.
And Al, let me ask you a question. Isn't this grounds, though, to have the DOJ go back and review all
well, right, right. Well, that's what they did with the African-American judge. They recused it's 300 obvious. Criminal cases that it she was on. But I don't think it's going to happen to her. I don't think it's going to happen to her.
It has to. You cannot tell me that a judge can say this and that there's no speculation of unfair sentencing based on race.
Has to be.
We got to keep our foot on their necks.
That's right.
We have to keep our foot in the neck and not be mad for this week and be mad at something else next week. That's what we do wrong.
And great job, Tamika Mallory, Sean King, all of you guys keeping your foot on their necks around this. Good job.
Let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back with more TGIF. All right, guys and soulmates, welcome back to TGIF. I really want to hear your thoughts on this story. Brandi Davis, the principal of the LeBron James-backed I Promise School, resigned after putting those paws on an 11-year-old boy after he used cuss words to describe the unkept state of the boy's bathroom. He probably wasn't lying. The child sent his mother a text asking her to pick him up and told her what happened. His mother said Davis reached out to her and admitted to slapping her son in the lunch line. The 11-year-old was left with a busted lip. What are your thoughts on this incident? And what would you do if a teacher slapped your kid to the point where the kid had a busted lip for cussing?
You know, the comedic side of me, and I did an Instagram post on this, was like, before I even knew the details, I asked the question. I said, was the principal black? And my mom said, yeah. And I said, well, if she was black, I don't even need to know the details. That child was being too sassy, and he probably deserved to be slapped. Okay, ha, 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 ha. Let's get a quick laugh out of it, right? The reality of the situation is educators should not be putting their hands on people's children. We know that, point blank, period. You parents out there, y'all doing a horrible job raising these kids. And granted, I'm not a parent and y'all gonna attack me for that. I don't have no kids, whatever the case may be. But what I do know is that kids were not as disrespectful years ago. Kids were not as disrespectful in the 80s and the 90s as they are now. There is no way in hell I would have ever looked my school principal in the mouth and said somebody shit it in the urinal. I would have never had the audacity to say that to an adult. And these parents, y'all need to sit back and ask yourselves, what are y'all doing as a collective and what are y'all not doing in the home that y'all children don't have no respect for adults? Now, the principal should have called home and let the mama come slap his ass. She was dead wrong and she should resign. But these kids are getting out of control. They're too damn sassy. Mm-hmm. And in the words of my grandma, they're too mouthy.
So, you know, I'm an educator and I've been in the classroom. I've come from a family of educators. Let's unpack this whole thing. I think there's more to this story. I don't think she slapped him because he said that. She knows that she's the principal of LeBron James School that gets media coverage everywhere. Everybody knows this school and all eyes. It's just like Oprah Winfrey's Leadership Academy. I think that something else happened. He did something else to garner her response to where she's putting not only her job on the line, but she is also jeopardizing LeBron James' legacy that he's building around education. Q is right. These young kids nowadays, they come from a whole new generation. They do not respect their elders. They do not respect authority. And what's so funny is neither do the parents of these new age kids. So I'm like, Q, we need to have a conference and I need to know more about this story. And hopefully this principal will share, because I know for a fact that she would not put her job on the line if someone who's complaining about a dirty bathroom. I know that we're never supposed to touch these kids, but these new age kids, they come in with a whole different attitude. And I'm going to tell you, plenty of time, and I teach on a college level, I want to choke some of them and slap them my damn self. But I think there's something more to this story, and I want to hear more, because I don't think she would have done it just because he said the bathroom was dirty.
I'm going to broaden it out to not just teachers and parents and kids. We have a problem with society right now where people are just not polite to each other. We don't show any grace. We're not polite. I'm right. You're wrong. I don't give a damn about your feelings. And people have never been so proud to be rude as they are right now. Mm-hmm. That is across the board. No one respects anyone anymore. And I think we have a decaying society when it comes to class, tact, couth. People, and there's no shame anymore. There's absolutely no shame. No one's embarrassed at anything anymore, because guess what? Even bad press is good press. I never believed that.
Me neither.
It is to these.
But Claudia, let me also tell you this. Also, the parents come in with the guns. Like when I was coming through, I had to prove to my mother that I was right. I couldn't just call and text her and say, oh, the principal slapped me. My mother would be like, what did you do? Right. Like, you didn't just get slapped because you were nice. Like, these parents nowadays don't ask any questions. They come straight to the authority and tell them that they're wrong. So, I mean, I think you're right. I think we need to do some recalibrating.
And to your point, Al, you know, I remember coming up, you know, you see kids running in the grocery store, and it was customary for another adult to say, stop running in the store.
Right. And they stop.
You see that now, the kids cuss you out. Then
the mamas too.
Find you on aisle 5 asking you what you said to their child and trying to fight you in the granola aisle. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you can't tell these damn kids nothing.
It's kids raising kids and being friends with your kids. So there's no level of respect there. You're calling your mom Pam or whatever. You're not even calling, you know what I mean? It's no mom thing. Right. Crack babies, lean babies.
And it's sad because, like, I see young teenagers all the time, especially young Black boys. I'll be, you know, in the line at Burger King or McDonald's, and they'll be cutting up. And I'd be wanting to say something. I'd be trying to find nice, subtle ways that won't upset them. But I'd be scared they're going to jump me and put it on World Star Hip Hop. So you just end up keeping your mouth closed for your own safety. And that's the world that we live in, that everybody's scared to correct someone because of their safety.
Speaking of keeping their mouth closed, this person is nuts. Okay, real quick, let's get this last story. And Ben Affleck opened up about his relationship with Jennifer Lopez fell apart in 2004. Ben said, I would say media attention was about 50% of what destroyed our relationship. He continued with the idea that people hate you and they hate you together and that being together is poison and ugly and toxic and the thing none of us want to be a part of. And who the F would want to have them to dinner? And what the F are they doing together? Does the media, specifically social media, ruin a lot of relationships? And what are you thinking? Is Ben Affleck taking a page from the Jada and Will Smith book of relationship talk by just spilling tea? J-Lo is apparently not happy about this.
Ben Affleck is full of S-H-I-T. You can't Google Oprah and Stedman right now and find a single picture of them out to dinner in a drive-thru. You can't Google Janet Jackson right now and find a single picture of her out to dinner with a man on a date, holding hands, walking through the park. You can't Google and find Beyonce in Target. You can stay out of the media if you want to. You and J-Lo both were media whores. You were an alcoholic. Okay, that's why your relationship fell apart. She couldn't deal with you and that damn Tennessee whiskey. All right, don't be around here putting it on the media. That is just such a lazy ass cop out.
What do you think,
Claudia? I think you're right on this, Mr. Ben Affleck. You better chill out. You better keep it sexy now and stop playing in the media and press talking about you and J-Lo, because J-Lo don't play these games. And we hear that she is quite upset that he shared these stories. He better get his ass. He better chill out, because she will put you back on the streets, buddy, because J-Lo does not like bad press. And we know
the press was the issue, but now you run into the press. Like, make it make sense.
And we know she don't mess around.
And then there was a story, it was this J-Lo thing. Then there was the Jennifer Garner situation with his ex-wife. Right. He said he became an alcoholic. Basically, he drank because he was in that relationship.
Yeah,
that's what happens.
You know, it's funny. This right here is evidentiary to me that him and J-Lo, I don't think they're going to last, because you are showing an inability to be accountable. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Jennifer, I'm stuck in a marriage. You didn't even have no damn children with that woman. What was you stuck in?
Blaming your wife for making you into an alcoholic when you could just leave is one of the most weak things I've heard in a long time. Like, just say you had a problem with alcohol and maybe you were difficult to be around. You know, that's also mean to do to the mother of your kid. Like, oh, you made me a drunk.
Oh, no, he did have a kid with her.
Yeah.
They
have kids. Oh, well, either way, people get divorced every
two.
Day.
More than one,
every day. What was you stuck in? And you got money. What were you stuck in?
All right, y'all. Moving on. Because it's the season to be jolly, let's play a holiday game of Emoji Me This, the Christmas song edition. There was no music. I was waiting for a thing. No.
Christ! The Savior was born.
All right, y'all. I'll show you an emoji that describes a Christmas song, and I want you to try to guess the song. Are you ready to play?
Let's do it.
All right, first up, guess this holiday song from the emojis. Let's guess it.
Drummer Boy.
There it is. Drummer Boy.
Al gonna get all of these because you know I don't like the Christmas.
Right. Are you sure though? You
know? Okay, next one. Name. Let's get this next one.
What you got, guys? Boy, see, girl, love. I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus.
Okay. All right.
That was the Michael Jackson one I love.
Get the next one.
Emoji. Run, force, sound, Eagle. Mountain.
I don't know that one.
What's that one?
Claudia, what's that one?
Go tell it on the mountain. That's a Christmas song.
Okay. All right. Let's get this next holiday song.
Mm. And I thought that's what it was, but Santa Baby.
Baby.
Okay. What about this last one?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Had a very shiny nose. CQ, you're not such a Scrooge.
I mean, I know the elementary ones.
Oh, fellas, we had a fun. Oh. Quick.
Uh-oh. What's that? Go, don't monkey stuff.
Silent Night.
Wow.
How the
heck
you get that?
I want to thank my co-host Al Reynolds and Funky Dineva for joining me tonight. We had a fun time per usual. Thank you so much for watching us on YouTube. We got it together. Stay tuned. We've got The House. That's all coming up next. Bye, fellas. Have a good weekend. Q, we'll hear about your love business.